Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. This is Troy Dooley with Radio for Your Mind, and I got to tell you something. I've been without electricity from about 6 o'clock this morning. Well, still out at the hotel. I'm over at the office now. We're at the command center here in Austin, and we've got plenty of electricity here. But let me tell you something. This cold has hit Texas like you wouldn't believe. And we're all sitting around here saying, boy, does Florida feel warm right now. So it's great to be here. It's great to be in town with everybody. We've got some great guests coming in today at the home office. But I tell you what, this cold front that hit has really done some crazy things to people. I had friends coming into town yesterday from Dallas to here. Usually takes 3 hours, and 3 hours into it, they were still about 3 hours out, they felt like. I mean, it was that bad. Good friend of mine from Florida flying in, and it took what should have taken 3 hours, took him all day. So, man, keep everybody across the nation in your prayers. I talked to my mom and dad last night, and mom said they've got about 8 inches. They're snowed in up there in Kansas City. So it's a crazy time. Hey, I also want to put out a word for you guys. I'd love for you to keep my friend Greg Sexton in your prayers. Greg and Jen have been our lifelong friends. I mean, Greg and I grew up together. Ever since he married Jen, her and Paige have been bestest of friends, and they're like sisters. I've always looked at Jen as a sister. And I tell you, he went in because he's always been a mechanic, just busted his butt. We've worked side by side together in business deals. He's a great entrepreneur. And, man, he went in for an MRI on his back, and they found 3 tumors in his brain. And this is tough. Greg's about my age, a little bit older. They've got great boys. Jen's a phenomenal network marketer. And we just want to keep them in our prayers. So he goes for surgery tomorrow. So it would mean a lot to me if you guys could just pray. If you're with us on Facebook, do a shout-out. Let Jennifer know that you're praying for her. Go put it up on my wall. We'll make sure she gets tagged in it. But you guys are awesome. We've got a great crowd of just dynamic people that pray a lot. We all come from different backgrounds, but we're all into prayer, so I want you to do that. Today we're in Chapter 3 of Dr. Henry Cloud's book, Integrity, The Courage to Meet the Demand of Reality. He's got a subtitle on this that I love. It says, How 6 Essential Qualities Determine Your Success in Business. Now, you know, we cover a lot of different topics on Radio for Your Mind. But what we try to do is make sure that every topic that we're covering has something to do with your life that will propel your success in business. I don't care if all you are a single mom working from your home, putting stuff together. If that's what it takes and that's how you're earning your money and you're sewing clothes or you're scrapbooking or something like that, this all works for you too. Every successful multi-billion-dollar business that I've ever studied all started in somebody's house. It all started as a thought. You know, how many of you would like to have been Edison starting General Electric over 100 years ago? I mean, think about this. Just because you're starting small today does not mean that you will not leave a legacy that could go on in business and become something huge. See, this is what we're talking about. But the only way to do that is with integrity. The sad issue that I've learned, I've learned this personally, most of us just don't get what integrity is. We look at it as just the morals, just the small ethical things. And that's where Henry Cloud comes into play. Guys, I am one of these people that will tell you I'm like a hodgepodge when it comes to mentoring and when it comes to sucking in wisdom and knowledge. Sadly, I had a guy that I truly see as a mentor. He's a phenomenal person. Write to me yesterday on Facebook. Excellent man, wrote to me in such a professional manner. And he said, Troy, you tag me sometimes in your videos, and we've never met personally. Do you see that kind of as odd? So, I mean, this guy's probably not on the net a lot, but he said something very interesting. He said, you tag me in your pictures. I started thinking, man, I don't even put pictures up at YouTube. I think we've got a few family pictures. That's about it. So I graciously apologized to him. So I'd love to connect with him live. Been wanting to get him on the radio show. He's a philanthropist like crazy. He's climbing the greatest mountaintops across the nation, across the world, really, to raise funds for a charity that he's passionate about. this is the kind of guy he is. So I wrote him back and apologized profusely last night. Said, please, let's connect. I'm on the road, but I want to connect with you. And I said, one more thing that I might add. I said, I don't tag people in my pictures at all. I do tag in videos when I think it's pertinent to you. And I said, in your case, the organization you're with, I've tagged you in. When I see a worthy cause, I've tagged you in it. And when it's about your family, I've tagged you in that. I apologize and won't do that again. Sadly, he thought I was tagging him so I could get access to his database. And because of that, I tried to explain to him live when we talked that I tag people for connection. I want them to connect with other people. And I know that the people that we use in the videos will see some of the people that we tag, and they will understand these are people of importance. These are people that I should talk to. So you have to have integrity. I appreciated him coming to me, having the character to say, Troy, I want to talk to you about this. And man, most people just don't do that. They just think you're nuts. So, you know, they shy away from it. So those are one little area of integrity where character came into play. It had nothing to do with ethics or morals. It had to do with understanding and being able to accept the fact that I intruded into his life. And he found that offensive. And it's like, man, I don't want people to find that offensive. I apologized, and I want to grow a relationship. Well, see, we have to do that. Dr. Cloud starts his chapter off. He says, why don't you do what a lot of rich guys do who are at your level of wealth, I ask my friend. They start buying sports teams or airlines and things like that. He's paused a minute. Because I don't know anything about those businesses, he said. My own business is really all I know at very significant levels. So I don't want to try to get into business that I don't understand. But that's not true, I said. I know all the businesses that you've invested in, and you've told me about some. His friend stopped him and said, no, that's not right. I never invest in business other than my own. I did not invest in those businesses. I invested in the people. I never invest in business that I don't know anything about, but I will invest in people if I know their character, their history, how they operate, what kind of judgment they have, what kind of risk are acceptable to them, and how they execute and things like that. I know them well. If I know them well, I will invest. I sat there this morning. Now understand, I didn't have electricity at the hotel as I was rereading this chapter. I'm sitting there in the dark. I've got my little smartphone, and I've got my flashlight, you know, app built into the smartphone thing, and I'm sitting there reading this, and I thought, is that not how every direct selling business should be? Is that not how every brick-and-mortar business should be? When we're going out there looking at what we're investing in, why is it that the industry, why is it that the industry focuses on compensation plans? Why is it the industry focuses on dreams? They focus on a lifestyle instead of saying, I need to invest in people. See, I believe if you're going to build a successful business at any level, the goal here should be to invest in people. When you look at a new business, you know, yesterday came down on the news wires that Prepaid Legal had sold for $650 million. Now, an equity firm from New York is buying that business. Now, you got to look at this for a second. Is that equity firm investing in the business or in the people? See, here's what I think happened. I think the equity firm realized that Prepaid Legal has a phenomenal sales force that understands the needs of the average consumer when it comes to lawsuits, when it comes to legal needs. And I think they invested in the people. Now, I think we as individuals, the small guys on the streets that's trying to pay our bills, I think we need to start investing in people. We need to use this book. We need to use these qualities that Dr. Cloud is talking about to be able to invest in our people. When we're looking for a business, we shouldn't be looking first and foremost at the product or first and foremost at the actual compensation plan. What we should be looking at is who's leading the business. What's going on in the corporate offices? Once we have that down pat, then we look at what's going on at the top levels in the field. How is the field portraying the business? Do they fully understand what's happening and how it's working and what's going on? Those are the things that we need to be focused on, we need to be looking at. That's what's going to set us apart. That's what's going to allow us to grow and to build. See, that's what he's talking about right here. Here's his friend who's a multi-multi-millionaire. And he's saying, why don't you invest in business? And his friend said, I never invest in a business. I invest in people. We should be investing in our people, above us and below us, sideline to us, our customers. It doesn't matter what it is. We should be investing in it. This is what Dr. Cloud writes. It was such a clear picture of what makes success, makes for success. It is not always the market or the strategy or the resources. It's always the people. I thought, wow. Dr. Cloud goes on, he says, what he was describing was a picture of character at work, but it was a particular kind of character. It was a character with integrity. Now, here's the fun part about integrity. When we invest in people and we think about integrity, we want to know, are they trustworthy? I mean, that's, and bottom line, that is the foundation of a relationship. Can I trust them? Are they authentic? Are they transparent? Are they going to be loyal? That's part of integrity. But listen to this. Dr. Cloud says, but my friend was talking about more than just the ethical side. He was talking about a complete picture of performance, all the way from gaining trust, getting results, and a return on investment. And that is the way we must be thinking about integrity as well if we're going to see results in any aspect of our life. Dr. Cloud says in the Oxford Dictionary, this is the definition of integrity. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. He is known to be a man of integrity. That's the first aspect. We all agree on that. But there's more to it. Listen to this. Number two, this is the second part of the definition. The state of being whole or undivided. Upholding territorial integrity and national sovereignty. I like that, being whole and undivided. Third, the condition of being unified, unimpaired, or sound in construction, as in the structural integrity of a novel. My wife could relate to that one. Number four, internal consistency or lack of corruption in electronic data. Now, here's what I want us to focus on. Whole and undivided, unified, unimpaired, sound in construction, internal consistency, or lack of corruption. See, when we look at things in construction, when we look at things in software, when we look at things that we put our hands on, we think in finite wisdom, finite terms. We say, okay, that has integrity, it's working. Isn't it the same thing with people? We're looking for sound, complete. Now, we all have quirks. We all have weaknesses. We're not trying to be perfect. But it's funny because as he digs deeper, he says, the origins of the words we can see in the French and Latin mean intact, integrate, integral, and entirety. Integrity means. So when you look at it, it means whole. When we're talking about integrity, we're talking about being a whole person, an integrated person with all of our different parts working well and delivering the functions that they were designed to deliver. It's about being wholeness and effectiveness with people. In other words, we're running on all cylinders. Now, we've all heard over the past few years, man, that's a dysfunctional family, or that's a dysfunctional couple, or he's a dysfunctional CEO. We've all heard that, and to a certain degree, it's true. The thing is, you can be a little bit dysfunctional and still do some amazing things out there if you're kicking it up, if you're focused on it right. Listen to this. This is powerful. When we were talking about integrity, this is what my friend was talking about. He would give millions only to a person who did not have a gaping hole in the side of his integrity. He took the time to understand the person. Think about this. Where would some of the great businessmen be today? Where would some of the great sports guys be today? Where would some of the great charities be today? Had they taken time to dig deep into Bernie Madoff's personal life. Maybe they would have found some character flaws in his integrity. Maybe that could have made a difference. Where would Tiger Woods be today had somebody close to him stopped and said, Tiger, you got some issues we need to work on? Maybe his marriage would still be intact. Maybe he'd still be at the top of his game in golf. See, when you look at things like this, it makes you start to realize, wow. In the Hebrew language, there's not really a word called integrity. The closest thing in the Hebrew language is virtue. Being a man or a woman of virtue. Virtue, if you take it to its root in the Hebrew language, really means a force to be reckoned with. So what you've got to ask yourself is, if you want to be a positive person of virtue, a positive force moving through your organization, a positive force that's driving a crusade or a cause, or are you going to be that negative force? Makes you think of Star Wars, doesn't it? Remember when Star Wars came out, a bunch of the ultra-conservative Christians that I hang out with said, oh, that's humanistic. It's about being the force within you and all that. And I started talking their language, and that's what I thought the Holy Spirit was too. But, you know, we are a force to be reckoned with. Whether you believe in the faith the way I do or you're just looking at this from a business standpoint, you have to be a force. And you've got to take that force that's within you, and you've got to make sure that it's running correctly. I'm not talking about, and again, I gotta reiterate this. I'm not talking about being perfect, okay? There's nobody out there that is perfect. I mean, only one person I know have walked on water. But you've got to be able to move forward. I would never expect a visionary to be detailed with numbers. It just isn't going to happen. At the same time, I would expect somebody in sales to have a little bit of rationale on understanding numbers, but I really want them to be strong in the personal side. And when you bring all that together, then you start to work well. You start covering the holes. At the same time, I would not want somebody in sales that had no personal trust factor. They have this gap where it comes to ethics. Wouldn't want that. It means they're going to lie. They're going to hype things. We don't want that. Dr. Cloud wrote this. I thought this was good. We all have strengths and weaknesses, and we need to operate in those strong areas where we are talented and gifted. The idea here is about character that seems to transcend gifts, talent, and other ways of thinking about strengths. See, sometimes we're all going to have weaknesses. We just learned in the last book with that we were doing with Posner and Bose that there are times where you're going to be walking down the path, you're going to have a weakness, you're going to have to learn to strengthen your weakness. Now, here's what we're talking about in this aspect, is not your talents or gifts, those weaknesses, we're talking about character. You cannot walk with a weak character. You have to fortify and strengthen all six areas of your character, starting with the integrity factor. If your character has no integrity, if there are flaws in it, you will not be able to fulfill the purpose, the mission, the goal, whatever you want to call it, that you're out to accomplish. It will never happen. And to show what I'm talking about here, there are people that have been on the rise to the top. They have done some phenomenal things throughout spiritual history, medical history, business history. I don't care what it is. They've been on their way to the top. And yet, because of character flaws, they have descended back to the bottom. They have self-sabotaged themselves. I talk about my oldest son a lot. Because Josh has the ability to succeed at whatever he puts his hands on. But because of a character flaw called ethics, he usually self-sabotages. This time we're praying that everything has gotten worked. He's got some great help when he was in prison. I think he's worked through some of this. We'll see. Dr. Cloud says, another way of saying this is that while you don't need all the gifts to exist in the world, you do need all the aspects of character while you're putting your gifts to work. Bottom line, the character issue will affect the one or two things you do well, forgetting any need to do the rest. See, that's what happens. And you've got to make sure that you're not just focusing on one or two things that you do well and leaving all of your character flaws alone. You have to work on those. You have to clean your act up. That's how my daddy used to always say, get your act together. We got to get our act together. If we do not get our act together, we're screwed. It's that plain and simple. I can't think of any other way to say it. We'll be a mess. This is why we have to know what it is that we don't know. Character transcends gifts and the context of the expression of those gifts. Somebody can tell you are a talented artist. And you may be the greatest talented artist. And you may be a starving artist. And all of a sudden somebody comes to you and says, you know what, you're so good. I bet you could copy this painting and we could sell it as if it was an original. If you have a character flaw, you might do that. So we have to work on these things. Nothing is out of the norm. It used to be people said, that never happened to me. Troy, I'm in control. I believe that every pastor that I've ever seen that's had an infidelity, they've messed around on their wife or they've messed around on their husband. Every one of them that ended up having an affair preceded that affair by saying, that it never happened to me. I remember people that were with XL Communications in the 90s into 2000 saying, we are too big to fail. We are the number fourth largest telecommunication company in the nation. And yet a few years after that, there was no more XL Communications as we know it. They're still around. They've regrouped, come out of bankruptcy, a very small company. Is that what you want to happen to you? One of the things that I constantly remind myself of is that I am human, that I'm a man, that I love women. And I constantly remind myself that I don't want to be in a predicament where I could fall to temptation. I've told you guys, when I took my position at Ignite, I told Dennis, I always want one of my family members with me on a trip or somebody from corporate. I do not want to end up in a position where that could be questioned. I always look when I can see temptation is on the surface, what I always think of is my children sitting on a couch and me having to tell them, you know what, I was unfaithful to your mother. All those things I told you all those years, that was a lie. And not everybody's the way I am. I know I'm pretty whacked out, but this is how I keep myself focused and moving forward. That's the way we all have to be. You have to clean it up. You have to focus. You have to realize that in every aspect of your life, you're going to have weaknesses. And if you've never focused on your character in all six areas before, then you probably didn't even look at the integrity factor and say, is my character, does it have integrity? Is it working in tandem? So here's a question. So the concept of integrity, now this is how Dr. Claude's saying it. So the concept of integrity being about needing wholeness in all areas of character does not negate the reality that we are all not gifted in all areas, nor the reality that we will do our best when we are working within our gifts. What it does say is that if we do not have integrity of character, wholeness of character, functioning in the ways that we will describe it, then our ability to capitalize on our strengths will be severely affected. I'm going to use Oprah Winfrey because in most areas of her spiritual life, I probably don't totally agree with her on things. But when I look at her as a wholeness, when I look at her character as a person, she never forgot where she came from. She has realized that all she wanted to do was go out there and add value to people's lives in every aspect, in any way that she can. Even during some of the darkest hours in her life where she couldn't lose all her weight, she gained her weight back. People questioned her integrity in Africa with her children and all this other stuff. Nobody ever questioned her character. She is constantly working to maintain her character in every area. She doesn't work outside her core competency. She stays focused. Can she act? Absolutely. We all have seen her in movies. Was that her core competency? No. But getting in front of a camera and changing people's lives, getting in front of the camera and giving people the opportunity to bound forward, those have been phenomenal situations. When you look at the people that she has gone out to produce, the Rachel Rays, the Dr. Phils, they're people that add value to other people's lives on a daily basis. That's just one aspect, one person that we can look at, because this truly is what it takes. So what is it we're going to be looking at? What are the things that we need to look at? Here are the aspects that we've got to look at. Six things. I want you to write these things down. This is going to be where the rest of the book really comes into play, because these are the six aspects of character. Number one, the ability to connect authentically. Okay? That leads to trust. When you can connect people with people in an authentic manner, you build trust. Sitting here in Austin this week, wonderful time with my family. I always enjoy being with my family. You guys know I've got teenage girls, I've got my 7-year-old son, and we got our grandbabies. Crazy times all the time, unpredictable, never know what's going to happen. You know, no electricity in a hotel room. Little baby girl Ashton last night fell and tripped and busted her mouth on the floor of the hotel, and, you know, it was bleeding, she's crying, all kinds of stuff. But we connect. I picked up my good friend George Madu from the airport last night. We've connected. We had a fun time coming back from the airport, talking about our kids and our cars and everything that we do. Awesome time. You've got to connect authentically. Number two, the ability to ordinate towards the truth. See, you don't want to go out there and what I call fake it till you make it. See, when you have the ability to be ordinated towards the truth, everything you say is focused on the truth, getting the truth out. This leads to finding and operating within reality. We all know that the world is not utopia. I remember my father-in-law. When we told him a decade ago we were moving to Destin, he goes, "You just think it's going to be utopia." I said, "No, we just think we'll like our problems better in the sunshine instead of the cold." And then when I talked to my mom last night, she said they're snowed in with 9 inches of snow. I know I was right. You know, it's not that we don't face the reality of what life is. It's a matter of we know the truth and we keep moving towards it. Number three, the ability to work in a way that gets results and you finish well. This leads to reaching goals, profits, and mission. This is part of where this is what we work on. Number four, the ability to embrace, engage, and deal with the negative. See, there's this cotton-picking myth out there that you just don't ever worry about negative. You always just think positive thoughts, and if you think positive thoughts, you'll levitate above all the negativism. Ask a mother who's miscarried a child how that works. Ask a husband who found out that his wife was cheating on him how that works. Or ask a set of parents when they find out that their son is sitting in jail or their daughter's pregnant how that works. It doesn't work that way. This is what we're going to be learning. Number five, the ability to ordinate towards growth, which leads to increase. And number six, the ability to be transcendent, which leads to enlargement of the bigger picture of oneself. If people are able to function well in these areas, the good wake is virtually inevitable. That's the power of what we're talking about here with integrity. That's the cool thing as we move this thing forward. It is some of the most, I mean, we have not even been able to cover everything in each chapter. It's so powerful. Tomorrow, character, dimension one, establishing trust. That's the first quality that we're going to be looking at, establishing trust. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back tomorrow morning with us for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.